The text for our meditation this morning is the text that was just read. In April of 1971, on the west bank of the Mekong River, about a mile up from Nakhon Phanom, Thailand, there was a compound established for refugees who were being driven from their homes, their villages, by the communists. Since I was in between flights, I volunteered to assist with the distribution of supplies such as blankets and rice for these people. And as we drove into the compound, we were mobbed by people who were ripping at the blankets and ripping at the bags of rice, ripping them open, rice falling all over the ground, mad to get after the supplies that we had brought. But out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of a group of people sitting up in one corner of this compound, sitting very calmly on the ground. And I and a couple others grabbed some supplies and took them over to them. Well, they were sitting in that corner of the compound for good reason. As I later found out, they were segregated from the rest because of who they were. They were, in fact, Christians. As we gave the supplies to the man who seemed to be their leader, who was leading them, and he shared with us some of the situations they'd been through as they made their way across Laos and into Thailand, I found myself terribly interested in what kept them going. And my comment was to him that he had done a good job, that it took great leadership to bring that many people across that vast a distance to safety. And I also noticed that many of the women holding their children and their babies had stomachs. The children had stomachs which were bloated from beriberi, and yet they were able to sit in such calmness, praying in their native tongue. After I finished congratulating this elderly gentleman, he quoted to me verse 31 of our text, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord," in better English than this old Texas boy could speak. That was my first acquaintance with Christians from Southeast Asia, and I found it somewhat strange that he would quote this verse to me. However, the very point that he was making is the point that Paul is making in his first letter to the Corinthians, and the point of our meditation this morning, that we really have nothing to boast in except Christ. Paul writes in verse 29 that no man should boast before God. The world with all of its wisdom cannot know God. In verse 21, previous to this text, Paul writes, "In the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God." The wisdom of the world is so infected with sin that it cannot know God, lest he reveal it himself to them. The world is in darkness, and man continues to speculate and to theorize and guess about God and all of his wonders. But no matter how much they test, no matter how much they experiment, no matter how much they theorize, they cannot know the truth unless God himself reveals it to them. In verses 27 and 28 of our text, Paul writes, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he may nullify the things that are." Science boasts boldly of much accomplishment, and it contradicts God's word wherever and whenever it can. But science eventually finds itself contradicting itself. An example of that would be evolution, or even creation evolution. Here we find a science which is based partly, at least, on the probability of life occurring from an explosion or God creating life and allowing it to evolve whatever way it might. But it is disproven by the science of mathematics. There's also carbon dating, which is only good up to 6,000 years, and even now we're finding that it may not even be that accurate to that point. My home pastor holds three PhDs, one in astrophysical cosmology, another in chemistry, and another in education, has shared with me the advancements that have been made in physics over the last several years. And he has shared with me that many of Einstein's theories have now been disproven as physics continues to grow. Even the atheist thinks he knows God, or that there is no God. Even the psychologist who would work apart from God's word and his revealed truth believes that God is a crutch for man's psychological needs, that he serves the father figure. But as we continue to grow and become more civilized, the less need we have for God. That being the case, it has been my experience. Under fire in the field, the atheists are the first ones to bail out of the foxhole, and they're the ones that you can least depend upon in those situations. This is the world. They have nothing to boast about. For all that they have, God has given them. But what about us, we Christians, who have received the wisdom of God? When his will and plan of salvation of the world was revealed to us, or is revealed to us, shall we boast? A few years ago, you could drive down most any highway and you would see billboards constantly that would say, "I found it." Of course, what they were speaking about is, "I found Christ." I always had a hankering to get a bucket of paint and a paintbrush and paint underneath that saying, "He was never lost. We were." So what then do we have to boast about? Shall we boast of sin? That's all that we have apart from Christ. But we don't even possess that, because sin possesses mankind. Paul, in writing to the Romans, has stated, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And again, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." Well then, shall we boast of our works, our great humanitarian deeds? To that question, Isaiah answers boldly and with a more pithy saying and words than I will use, "All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God." Where then is boasting, writes Paul? It is excluded. By what kind of law then are we saved? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So when we are in God's gracious light, no longer in darkness, but wise to his plan of salvation, shall we boast saying, "I found it. I reached out and got it. I plucked the sweet fruit of forgiveness. I did it my way." No. Not according to the word of God as we read in our text. For it is clearly stated that it is by his doing, that is Christ, that you are in Christ Jesus. Christ became wisdom from God. We sat in darkness, as described by Matthew in his fourth chapter as he quotes Isaiah. We sat in darkness, but a light dawned upon us, and that light was Christ. He revealed the mystery of God's grace in himself. It is Jesus who does the seeking and the finding of us. It is Jesus who came to seek and to save the sinner. and he became our redemption. God in his wisdom knew that man could not pay the price of his sins. Man cannot redeem his brother. He could not withstand the wrath of God, which in its fury is all-consuming. So he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ became our substitute on the cross, paying for all the sins of the world. He did this willingly, lovingly, that we might live. In the words of the psalmist, Jesus became our shield from the wrath of God. On the cross, with all the sins of the world upon himself, he received the full impact of God and of his wrath, and shielded the world from that. Christ became our righteousness, as Paul writes. He rose again, defeating death, that we might have the assurance and the certainty of salvation, and our own certainty of our own resurrection. Death, or the fear of death, is one of the strongest controlling elements in the human being. But Christ has defeated that. Its strong bonds could not hold him. He has defeated it so that it no longer can control our lives. So we can say in our words of praise and prayer, as boldly as Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look in the Old Testament, we see that God required perfect obedience to his law. And sometimes I think we get away from that idea in the New Testament, thinking somehow he erased that. But that wasn't the case at all. Jesus came to fulfill the law, he says, not to destroy it. He kept the law perfectly. He was in perfect obedience. And that perfect obedience by faith is imputed to us. We are declared, for the sake of our faith in Jesus Christ, righteous before God. He looks at the world and he sees nothing but the world robed in the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. He sees only righteousness. This means for us, as we live in the world, in the words of St. John in his first epistle, that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours alone, but those of the whole world. We keep the law through Jesus. We are forgiven because of Jesus, not because we are good. John goes on to write in his epistle that we are forgiven because, or for the sake of Christ. We trust totally in the merits of Jesus alone. And as Paul goes on to write, Christ also became our sanctification. We are made holy in Christ. We are robed in the righteous blood of Christ by faith, so that when we sin, we are cleansed and made holy by faith. As John writes again in his first epistle, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then, what shall we boast? Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. So there you have it, friends. God offers you forgiveness and salvation freely. It's a free gift, but not a gift that was obtained freely, but a very heavy, precious price was paid, the blood of Jesus. So go ahead and boast, but boast in nothing but Christ and His work. Give all the glory and honor to Him. Boast of His work to your friends, to one another, to your neighbors, to your family, to all those that you come in contact with. Tell them about this great and wonderful gift from God. Don't keep the wisdom of God a secret. Share it with sincerity. And don't be led astray by the wisdom of the world. You are not of the world, therefore leave the wisdom of the world to the worldly. And join with Paul in saying, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let us bow our heads for prayer. O God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. Amen.